It's Monday night, and once again, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop, and what a wonderful show we have tonight. If only I could see what it's about. We've got attorney Rob Siglampaglia with us.
Yes, we do. He's right over there.
He's right over there, and he will answer your legal questions. We also were going to talk about compression, and if you've got a question, throw it in the chat room, because we'll talk about it on VoiceOver Body Shop coming right up.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere. Together in one place, George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, to bring you all the latest technology, today's voiceover superstars, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, makers of Source Connect, Source Connect Pro, and Source Connect Now, VO2GoGo.com, everything you need to become a successful voice artist, VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success, the VO Dojo, take your voiceover career all the way, J. Michael Collins Demos, when quality matters, and by voiceactorwebsites.com, where your voice actor website shouldn't be a pain in the butt.
And now, live from their super secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Well, good evening and happy Halloween to all of you out there.
Is that what it is?
Well,
I wasn't quite sure what time of year this was.
Tomorrow night is Halloween.
Tonight's mischief night.
It is? Not around here. It's like they get one night, they come, give them
we
candy.
We combine mischief night and Halloween in one night.
I get to miss it this year, though, because I'm going to be in Portland.
Oh, very nice.
I'm going to be at a Halloween party in Portland. Anyway, tonight on our show, as scary as it sounds, we have our favorite attorney on.
Spooky.
Yeah. Ooh. Rob Siglampaglia is with us. But first, we have to tell people something. Like, I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or V-O-B-S.
Yes.
All right. See, you're not here for a week, and it's like we get a little bit rusty. Only been doing this 6 3/4 years, and
we always shoot the rehearsal around here.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Rehearsal. What's rehearsal?
We shoot the rehearsal.
Yes. Want to thank Andrew, by the way, our amazing floor director.
Thank you for coming back, Andrew.
Yeah, thank you for coming back. No, but he got me passes to go backstage at the James Corden Late Show on CBS. That was. They look like they have a great time there.
How much longer do I have to wait before I ask you for passes, Andrew? For a couple weeks? All right, yeah. A little buffer?
Yeah. Things seem pretty loosey-goosey over there. But we got to be in the green room, eat the food.
Yeah. That's awesome.
You know, meet the band.
Who was the weirdest person you met the whole time you were there, besides Andrew?
Besides Andrew? Well, there was a couple of guys from the band that were pretty weird.
That's to be expected.
Yeah, and the host, who whatever his name is, the guy who keeps the audience warmed up,
the
warm up guy. He was really weird.
Who's the warm up guy, Andrew? He doesn't know.
He just works there.
Just let the guy in.
Yeah. Okay. Anyhow, tonight, as I said, we have Rob Siglampaglia with us,
yes,
and
we do.
If you've got a question for Rob about anything that has to do with voiceover legal stuff. Get it in the chat room. Jack Daniel, our social media manager, is there, and he is relaying those questions to us. Also, if you have a tech question of some sort, dealing with your home studio, hey, we're the guys that do this stuff, so send it in there. We'll talk about that in the next segment.
Hey, you missed your cue.
For what?
You're supposed to ask me, what did I do over the last
week. Oh, right. What did you do in over the last week?
Oh, so nice of you to ask.
Thank you for reminding
old
me.
Pal.
Yeah.
Actually, it was a crazy week because I was flew to Colorado, spent my birthday there,
yep.
October 18th.
Yep.
44 now.
44.
Feeling pretty good at 44. I'm pretty happy with that. Then went to Pennsylvania, hung out with the parents, brought Maxine to see the parents, meet the parents.
And how did that go?
It went really, really well. Everybody
good.
Wants to see each other again someday. So we know things went pretty well.
Good.
We had a lot of fun there. We stayed in like five different places. We spent time at a horse farm. We listened to roosters all night long, keep us awake. Not the funnest part.
Yeah.
And we went to Amish country, where I smelled and I literally ran past a dairy farm.
Yeah. So I got churn some butter.
I got the smell of the cows while running. That was a nice mix. And we ended up in Philadelphia on the last night and had a blast in my own home city.
Cool.
It was really cool being a tourist in my own town. Go back to your hometown and bring someone with you and get to experience it through their eyes. Yeah. It was a blast.
This is the old neighborhood.
It was fun.
When I was just a lad.
Dirty Franks. Mm. Anybody knows Philly? We went to Dirty Franks at, I think it's 13th and Pine. I recommend it.
Okay, next time I'm there.
Cash only.
Yes. Well, that's that kind of news, but now it's time for...
And now, the voiceover extra, VOBS News, the latest and most comprehensive voiceover industry news, brought to you live.
And here it is, the news for October 30th, voiceover extra, 71 to crush it. Tonight, we're going to tweak your voiceover career. You can do better no matter where you are in your level of performance and business skills. And in case you missed it last week, our voiceover pal Kim Handysides posted an article on Voiceover Extra that gives us 71 ways to succeed in voiceover. Or as Kim explains, it's a cheat sheet of skills to develop an attitude to adopt to help you crush it as a voiceover actor.
Many of these you know, but we'll bet that some of the tips will give you an aha moment, if not a slap on the wrist to do what you know you should. Here's a sampling. First, on VO performance, learn how to breathe from the diaphragm and really learn to control it.
Stay hydrated. Little sips all day long. Limit coffee and alcohol. Well, maybe for you.
Protect your voice. Don't shout or scream unless you know how.
Get enough sleep. Voice work requires energy.
Stay healthy. If you have a cold, you can't work.
Enunciate so you can choose not to for effect, for like conversational and relaxed reads.
All right. Be confident. It comes out in
be
your
continent?
Read. Did I say continent?
Yeah, you did.
Be incontinent.
Do not be incontinent.
Be confident.
Yes.
It comes out in your read.
Commit. Believe what you say. If you don't, no one else will.
And excel at cold reading, not like me, because you need to.
Practice. It takes work to make it sound effortless.
Right. And relax, man.
Okay.
It helps you deliver your best sound.
Get some training. This is a craft. You need to train to improve.
Of course, invest in a home studio and reinvest in better equipment as soon as you can.
And do auditions every day. Make a weekly target number and stick to it. Now, Kim adds that she's been doing voiceover since before many millennials were born, and that breeds lots of freelance business experience from which she advises...
Promote yourself. People can't hire you if they don't know you're there.
Learn about marketing. It's show business after all.
Learn accounting. Stay on top of that so you can keep doing what you love. Oh, my God.
Oh, right. Attend voiceover conferences for the learning and the camaraderie. Absolutely.
And you must join an accountability or some kind of a mentoring group. It pushes you to grow.
A mastermind group. Work hard and don't give up. You'll succeed. Maybe just not on your timetable.
Right. learn how to live with rejection. Get over it. It happens a lot.
Be organized. It keeps the overwhelm ogre at bay. I didn't write that.
Be good with your money. There will be rainy days.
Yes.
Many.
Yes. And be professional. You'll be invited back.
And be reliable, on time, and ready to work.
All right. Well, the list continues at the article now featured on the homepage of voiceoverextra.com, your daily resource for voiceover success. See this and thousands more articles and resources there. And it is all free.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Well, we're having a lot of fun with the prompter, aren't we?
Yeah, you gotta really yell to get it to, it's a voice-activated prompter, and if it's not hilarious. Working, you have to let it know!
It's a good thing I got lots of compressors on the signal
that
here.
Helps.
We're going to speak about compressors in a few
we
minutes,
We are, actually. We'll explain what that's all
but
about.
Before that, a couple little bits of newsy kind of thingies, I guess. Remember that company, Sentrance? They're known for the MicPort Pro.
How can you forget them?
Well, they
don't let you forget them.
They came up with this thing called the Mixer Face a couple of years ago.
It was
some of us may have possibly sent them some money, expecting for some equipment to come back. But anyway, they've sent out their 73rd update, letting you know the status of the equipment. So if you're one of those people that ordered or pre-ordered or didn't, it's not even a pre-order. If you donated money to Sentrance and you don't want to know where it went, here's what's up with Sentrance on the Mixer Face. And it says they're off to prove out the new boards.
Ooh.
Hello from Mixer Face campaign. Michael Goodman here with a quick update. I'm leaving for China tomorrow to build new versions of the analog and digital boards for the product. It's a prototype built of 10 pieces to verify the changes we've made. As mentioned, we've improved both noise performance, volume control, and also digital connectivity.
Well, that's kind of important.
More modern technology that's available now, but wasn't available several years ago. That's what happens when you design a product 5 years ago.
It's going to be outdated before you get it out.
You have to keep redesigning it to stay with the times. We have good confidence that the new board revisions will work well since they are using the tech from our hi-fi products. These are proven solutions, but we still need to check the boards and make sure everything works well. In parallel, we are arranging a production build with the factory. I intend to get the ETA from them next week, and we'll make another update. That would be update number 74, anybody who's counting, on that when I return. Things are definitely moving forward now, folks.
Yeah.
Definitely.
JS, it's on its way sometime this millennium.
Anyway, we're being a little tongue-in-cheek, but they launched a product through an Indiegogo campaign. It's kind of like Kickstarter. It's just taken them quite a bit longer than we had all expected, but I feel confident that product is going to come out.
Eventually.
And it's going to be pretty cool.
I'm sure it is. I mean, there are other products. MicPort Pro was a great product when it came out.
It was.
And their other stuff is very high quality.
I still have a MicPort Pro, and I have a good one. Every time I pull it out, it works.
Yeah.
It's been very
It's a
reliable.
Great lifeboat. If something,
it is.
You know, good to have around if something breaks, just plug it right
Sound
in.
Sound quality is very good. Yeah. It's very light and portable.
Yes.
Just on another topic of discussion, not really a newsy thing, but
All
more
right.
of just something I experienced today. I have a client who's doing commercials for, you know, like hard sell, you know, truck and car commercials. That kind where you basically yell.
Yes.
Well, yes, you literally yell into the microphone. And he's working a Sennheiser 416. He's in a smallish booth, and the mic is maybe about 8 inches away because that's really about as far away as he can physically get to from the mic. The problem we seem to be having is I think he's actually overdriving the mic.
Overdriving a 416?
I think so, because we've inserted a pad on the preamp.
Mm-hmm.
He has an Apollo Twin Solo, which has a 20 dB pad that you can turn
on. So you're like choking this thing.
Yeah, and I still hear it breaking up a little bit. So it made me remember that once in a while I've seen like a heavy metal band recording.
Right.
The Rooster video from before the show made me think of this. I've seen heavy metal bands recording, and the singer will not use a standard condenser microphone like this, but they will use a dynamic microphone. So for all the reasons dynamic mics usually are not the greatest for voice acting because they're not very sensitive, they're fantastic for recording something really loud.
Yeah.
Like someone yelling at full volume, trying to do that super hard sell, aggressive truck commercial, Cliff Zelman special.
Right. So if you've got one of those RE20s that you stole from the last radio station you worked at, exactly. Use that.
Exactly. An RE20 is a classic EV, Electro Voice dynamic microphone, bomb-proof. You can find one on Craigslist or eBay and pretty much guarantee it's going to work.
And use it as a hammer, too.
Right, right.
It does drive nails.
Get a stunt mic. If that's too rich for your blood, because those can be $300 plus, get like a Shure SM58.
Ooh,
$100 dynamic vocal mic.
Right.
You know, when you're yelling at those kind of volumes, fidelity isn't really the primary concern. It's really more about the microphone being able to handle the sheer volume.
The SPL.
The SPL, the decibels. And I think a Sennheiser 416, you know, can only handle probably about 130 decibels of volume. And if you're screaming at the top of your lungs from this far away, you can probably achieve that pretty quick.
Yeah.
Have you ever been yelled at by somebody at like a concert? Like, you know, there's a band going and then like they say, what do you think? Right into your ear and you're like, oh, God. Well, that's 130 is the threshold of pain. So it is quite possible for
your own... Blood starts to come out of your ear.
Yes, it is quite possible for your own voice at a close enough distance to inflict pain. So the microphones don't handle that as well.
Okay.
If you have a condenser mic that has a pad switch built in, that may work for you because that's when the pad is actually inserted in the circuit.
Right.
Which can oftentimes allow the mic to be able to handle that kind of stuff.
In a good condenser microphone with a 20 or 10 dB pad in it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You say good, and what's funny is... Sennheiser 416 and Sennheiser TLM-103, neither of them have pad switches, which I thought is kind of funny. These are $1,000 microphones. I've heard reasoning for that is that, you know, another switch can make another source of noise.
The more things you have on something, the more it can go wrong with
it. It's a source of failure, you know, that kind of thing. But anyway, check out a dynamic mic if you're stuck having to do these extreme reads. I wouldn't use them for everything, but for really hard sell stuff, a dynamic mic could be your friend.
All righty. Well, if you've got a tech question, throw it in the chat room. Jack Daniel will get it to us. We're going to talk a little bit about compression right after these messages on Voice Over Body Shop. Don't go away.
As a voice talent, you have to have a website. But what a hassle getting someone to do it for you. And when they finally do, they break or don't look right on mobile devices. They're not built for marketing and SEO. They're expensive. You have limited or no control. And it takes forever to get one built and go live. So what's the best way to get you online in no time? Go to voiceactorwebsites.com. Like our name implies, voiceactorwebsites.com just does websites for voice actors. We believe in creating fast, mobile-friendly, responsive, highly functional designs that are easy to read and easy to use. You have full control. No need to hire someone every time you want to make a change. And our upfront pricing means you know exactly what your costs are ahead of time. You can get your voiceover website going for as little as $700. So if you want your voice actor website without the hassle of complexity and dealing with too many options, go to voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
VO2GoGo.com, everything you could possibly need to be a successful voiceover artist. VO2GoGo.com's voiceover curriculum is a 5-time winner of Backstage Magazine's Reader's Choice Award for Best VO Classes and Best VO Teacher, David H. Lawrence XVII. It's 36 classes online or in person across a year-long course featuring not just classes in the art of VO, but also in the commerce and science of running your voiceover business. And each month's class day includes a workout class for all participants. Unlock the entire curriculum at once. Over 45 hours of training videos, audio samples, and live workouts where you can work on mic. Get more details and sign up for the pro membership to save money at VO2GoGo.com/VOBS. That's VO2GoGo.com/VOBS. VO2GoGo.com, everything you need to be a successful VO artist.
You're still watching?
You're watching VOBS.TV. I don't know why. It's crazy what they do here. I think I'm going to go somewhere else and have a cheese sandwich.
Man, there's one show that I can't miss. It's called VOBS. And a lot of people are like, VOBS? What is that? That is BS about VO. And I love VO. How much BS is going to be in this show? There's only one way to find out, baby.
And we are back. I love this set we've got tonight. This is classy. There's a lot of carving.
I carved that one.
No, very good. We were looking for one with a mustache, but it, you know, type in jack-o'-lantern with mustache, you know, didn't happen. Anyway, you know, you and I do this stuff here in Southern California and all over the world where we help people with their home voiceover studios,
yes,
which, by the way, is what the show is all about most of the time. If you need help with your home voiceover studio, whether it's designing it, building it, learning software, if you've got a problem with it, you can call either one of us.
That's right.
You can go to George and you can find him at
georgethe.tech or georgethetech.com for those that are intimidated by short domains.
Yeah. Makes it a lot easier. And you can go to my site, which is homevoiceoverstudio.com, or you can reach me at dan@danleonard.com. Don't ask me why it's so confusing, but, you know, you think I would have used that domain for after having it for 10 years.
Do you have those two websites cross-linked?
Yes, so of course. Oh, absolutely. Good. It's definitely linked. It's like, well, I'm also this. Oh, by the way, I'm also this. Very important.
What kind of techie stuff should we chat about this week, you think?
I figured since, you know, I've been dealing with a few issues with people who are using compression.
Mm-hmm.
And in various different ways.
People that don't know why they're using compression?
Well, exactly.
I heard I'm supposed to use a compressor.
Right, exactly. So we figured we'd do a little demonstration of what compression does and how to set it up properly in various different pieces of software platforms.
Well, let me preface this real quick.
Please.
With that, there's two different kinds of compression that we talk about in audio, and it can be confusing. One of them is dynamic compression, which is what we're talking about here tonight. That's using software and plugins to change the dynamic range of audio.
Right.
There's also data compression, and that's squeezing a WAV file that's 10 megabytes into a tiny 1 megabyte MP3.
Right.
So don't get those confused.
Don't confuse digital and audio compression.
That's data compression. We're talking about audio compression.
All right. So now it's time for
DAWview 2017.
Wow, I can't wait till 2018 when I get to change the logo again. I do. Yeah. Okay. Do we have the DAWview up here, Andrew?
Let's see if it's working.
Looking like your
wrong screen.
Yeah.
Wrong screen.
I think it's frozen.
Yeah. Let me turn it off and turn it on.
Could you turn it off and turn it back on again? Have you seen the IT Crowd, man? Go on Netflix and watch the IT Crowd.
I will.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny.
All right. Is it there now?
It's fantastic.
I just see your rundown. That's it.
Oh, interesting.
Let's see which Wi-Fi network you're on. Yeah, you're on the right one.
Right Wi-Fi, okay.
This is DAWview in a nutshell right here, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Well, we were talking about this.
Here, point it on camera too.
Yeah, here, put it on camera too here.
Is that better?
That doesn't help a lot. There we go. Yeah. Okay, my arm's going to get real tired doing this.
I'll hold it for a while.
Thank you. All right, so you guys are like, now there's a reflection in it. Well, this was going to be a great segment had it worked.
Right. I think Andrew had the front shot was better.
Okay.
There you go, Andrew.
All right, so here we are in Audacity, if you have the audacity to be using Audacity. And now you're really starting, now it's starting to float out of sequence here. We can make this actually bigger. But in effects, you know, now here we're showing you a perfectly modulated file by yours truly, which, by the way, when you're recording, if you record it properly in the first place, you don't have to do a whole lot to it, if anything.
You've got great delivery where you don't have to.
Well, of course.
Newer voice talent tend to hit the first word real hard, and then the level comes back down.
So in order to even the levels out, you use compression. And let's see here. We'll go to effect, compressor. It's not great in Audacity. You probably can't even see there's the graph right there. The preset on it has some problems, doesn't it?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I'll tell you what. One thing I'll give them credit for is if you just leave it on all of the defaults,
right?
It doesn't mess your audio up too bad.
Okay.
If you just load the defaults, it works. Reasonably well. The key is that they have it set to a 2-to-1 ratio.
Oh.
And basically, the 2-to-1 ratio means that you can compress the heck out of the audio,
right,
or, you know, have too much compression going on.
Mm-hmm.
But if the ratio is at 2-to-1, the most it can change your audio is by a ratio of 2-to-1.
Right.
So if your level goes up 6 dB, a 2-to-1 compressor will only allow it to go up 3 dB. That's what a 2-to-1 compressor is. So you can't mess it up too bad with a 2-to-1 ratio. As you go higher up in the ratio, though,
right,
the audio starts to sound more and more squashed and almost distorted when you go over the top.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let me try something else here.
Yeah.
See if I can fix this problem here.
While he's doing that, another thing about the Audacity compressor is two of the parameters that most compressors have is what's called an attack time and a release time. That's how quickly it responds, and then how quickly it releases the compression. And it's typical to have a release time of about a tenth of a second, maybe. So that would be like 100 milliseconds. That's a pretty typical release time. It works pretty well. The release time in Audacity, the shortest is 1 second. So it does not have a quick release time, which is really weird. And I don't know why they designed it like that. And I don't know why they haven't changed it. The bottom line is it's not the greatest compression tool because of that. So what that means is after it squishes the audio, it takes a full second of time to go by before the audio will come back up to its normal volume. So not the greatest tool, but we want to show you that one particularly because a lot of people do use Audacity. It's free, and so it's a place you can start.
Okay. Do you have it now, Andrew? Wow. So much for the NDI technology.
Another thing about the compressor that's unique in Audacity is it has something called makeup gain,
mm-hmm,
built in, which is kind of cool. It's kind of like an automatic normalizer.
Right. So because once it's compressed.
Right. The levels drop down. Actually, let's do a before and after. So we showed everybody what it looked like before.
All right.
Which had the signal has some ups and downs. You know, it's not super squished looking.
Okay. There you go. All right.
So go ahead and
this is
apply
so high
it.
Tech.
Let's look at the.
I can see where like apply is on here. Oh, there it is. Okay. And boom.
Whoa, okay. So not only did the levels sort of average out in volume, so there's not as many ups and downs, it also went up in volume overall.
Right.
And that's because that little checkbox on there called makeup gain,
right,
was turned on. Most compressors don't have a makeup gain thing. They're right. Not automatic.
Right.
So oftentimes we have to use a normalize
right.
tool also.
Right. So it's now uniformly loud.
It's uniformly louder. That's
okay.
For sure.
All right. Now, is that necessarily necessary? Okay. Let's take a look at what happens when we work with Adobe Audition.
Try a whole screen. See if that works.
Try
better.
A whole screen?
Try display entire monitor.
Just does that help, Andrew?
No.
Well, but it was working before. All right. Well, close
hey,
enough.
Telestream, are you watching?
Yeah. All right. Okay. Here. Oh, of course, I have yellow.
Yellow is keying out.
Yeah.
Check it out. It still gets the point across.
Okay. Here, All right. Now, in Audition, it's pretty. There's a lot more controls. You've got if you just go to the amplitude and compression, you got lots of different choices. One that I like to use.
Plus, you get a lot of presets.
Right. Exactly.
Which is nice.
My favorite single band compressor and. In single band compressor, there's another one called VoiceOver. Ooh.
So that's a preset?
It's a preset VoiceOver? Called VoiceOver. Watch what it does.
And does it work?
It evens everything out very nicely. And, once you do that, you can also then use your normalize in there, normalize
now,
to -3.
So now we're making up a little bit of
right.
the gain.
And that is perfect modulation on that. And right. that's not gonna drive an engineer crazy because it's
your levels are still far enough from hitting zero
right.
that you're not getting close.
He can mess with it like crazy and it won't be a problem.
Now this is a common thing to use to just make your auditions sound a little bit louder and the levels be a little bit more even all the way across.
Right.
Now, but if you're doing a job for a studio, then they actually have a real actual engineer who's going to take your audio and produce it.
What a concept.
Does not happen that often these days, folks.
Yeah.
But if you're lucky enough to have that happen, they're probably going to ask you not to do compression. They're probably going to tell you, please don't process the audio. The reason being is it's very hard to undo compression in post. Once the audio has been squished down and compressed in dynamics, it's very difficult to restore dynamics once that's been done. So right. they're not happy with that. The studio's engineer is going to want to have control over that. And they're going to want to decide what to use and how much compression and that sort of thing. If in doubt, if you don't know what to do, give it a shot, plug it in, see if it sounds okay, send the audio to somebody you trust.
Like him, one of us, or someone
that you know is a professional voice actor. And if you want to have the settings dialed in for you because you really want a kind of a punched up sound for a specific kind of work,
One click and not worry about it.
Yeah, then we can help you dial that in.
Absolutely.
You know, that's something that both of us do. I create Audacity chains. It's kind of a pain in the neck, but you can do it with what's called a chain in Audacity. In Audition, you can create a rack,
yep,
which is super awesome and easy to set up and use.
Customize them, and it's just one click, and you're set.
Yep, and then Twisted Wave stacks, same idea. Very easy to pre-program in a couple of functions you use all the time.
Right.
A high-pass filter, a compressor, stuff like that.
Right. All righty. Well, enough of that geekiness for this week. If you've got questions on voiceover legal issues... Who knew there were until Rob Siglin-Paglia came along? And we'll be talking to him right after these messages.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios. Who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success. In one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
Nobody knows it right now, but my phone is between my legs and it's vibrating because somebody's calling me. So this is going to be a very special, special spot. This feels really funny. Oh, it's my daughter. Oh, my gosh. What timing. You know what, Elle? I'm not going to put you on the spot like that. That's not fair. She's only 8. Anyway, it's time to talk about Source Elements, and they're the creators of Source Connect, an amazing tool for connecting your studio to others around the world so you can do professional voice work and be directed live and recorded by the studio at the other end. Just a minute ago, I was talking about jobs where there's an actual audio engineer involved. If you're working on Source Connect, you're playing with the big boys. Because now you're getting to be recorded by a studio real time. It's awesome. At the end of the session, all you do is say, hey, thanks a lot. And you hang up and the session's done. They do the rest. It's a beautiful thing. If you want to give Source Connect a try, go over to source-elements.com and you can get a 15-day free trial for Source Connect right away. You don't have to have one of those little blue or black iLock dongly things to use Source Connect standard. You can just have an iLock account. The account's free. If you want to try out their free edition, they also have Source Connect Now, a completely free software solution for streaming your audio to other studios. Give it a shot, and we'll be right back here with Dan and Rob.
VOBS is still on? Seriously?
You're listening to VOBS.
Yep, this is VOBS, proven anybody can have a show these days.
Hey, welcome back to VoiceOver Body Shop. You know, we get some great guests on here, people who are experts on all sorts of cool stuff, and here's the one guy that everybody talks to when they have a problem with some legal issue dealing with voiceover. Rob Siglin-Paglia is currently a practicing attorney, as well as an on-screen and voice actor, and now a producer, And now he is joining us here on VoiceOver Body Shop, Rob Siglampaglia. Nice to see you again.
You too, Dan.
How
you
Welcome doing? Back.
Yeah.
George. Nice to see you, man.
It's great to have you on. You have a fascinating career. You're apparently a very successful attorney.
You say so.
Well, I mean, you've argued cases in front of the Supreme Court, right?
Connecticut Supreme Court.
Oh, the Connecticut Supreme Court.
Hey, it's still pretty supreme.
I'm remitted by the United States. I haven't gone there yet.
Oh, okay. I'm sure you'll get your chance with some of the cases I can probably throw in there. Tell us a little bit about your journey to this multifaceted career. I mean, you're attorney, voice actor. I always say floor wax, but you know, I'll drop that if you want.
Well, I guess, I mean, I started out as an attorney. Yeah. I was a DJ actually in college.
Yeah.
So that I guess that's where you could say it started. Like I DJed on college radio, right. I DJed parties. So I always had that, you know, the that little artistic little teeny bit in me.
Just spin the records. Very
so
creative.
So I became a lawyer.
Yeah.
And then I decided maybe 10 years after practicing that, you know, I wanted to check out the artistic side more. So I was just flipping through an adult education bulletin one day, and I saw a class for voiceovers. I didn't even know what voiceovers were. So I decided I'd try to take the class, and, you know, see what...
I think we took the same class, as I recall.
I think so. You know, make money in your PJ.
Yeah,
you know?
Something like that, yeah.
So after the class, I really loved it, and I decided that, you know, I was going to try it, because why not? You know, I always wanted to do some artistic stuff, and let's do this.
So, right.
I took some more classes, eventually cut a demo, landed my first gig as a PBS documentary.
Very well. Good start.
So
I remember that.
On the American Experience show,
yeah, right.
Did a couple of voices. So that was kind of, I don't know, a blessing or a curse, depending on how you look at it.
Right.
Because it, you know, it obviously motivated me to keep going.
Right.
And I started doing on-camera work from there.
Right.
People just said, you know, go get your headshot and see what comes of it,
right.
You know. And my first job as on camera was Music and Lyrics, that movie with Hugh Grant and Drew Barrymore.
Right, yeah.
And I ended up, like, being on camera. I remember it was New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Dick Clark was on. And I'm in the kitchen with my family. My whole family's there. Yeah. And all of a sudden, they start screaming, "You're on TV!" I'm like, what? And I come running in. I made the trailer for the...
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, I'm Dick Rockin' Clark show in the middle of New Year's Eve. It was pretty cool. Wow. So that was how that all started going. Yeah. The on-camera
stuff. Then you were in this legendary commercial in the Super Bowl.
Which was a student project
or something?
No, it was actually...
It was a contest.
Yeah, it was a contest.
Right.
It was for the London Film Festival. For Chevy.
Yeah.
So they were doing spec commercials for Chevy. The winner would go into the London Film Festival. Well, they saw the spot that we had done, and they decided they were going to put it on the Super Bowl. That's how much they liked it. They actually put it into a contest, you know, with other spots.
Right.
And we ended up winning and being featured on the Super Bowl. So...
And it's like one of the most popular ones of all time. Nobody forgets this commercial. Give them the look. The bewildered look. There you go. There you go.
It was fun. So.
You don't want to be typecasted, so. Don't get typecasted.
Right.
Well, I played the dad, so I mean, how much more typecasted can you be? Anyway.
Funny spot. Okay. Why are legal issues so intimidating and so scary to people?
That's a good question.
Really. Okay, that's why I'm asking it.
It's not. I mean, that's they shouldn't be.
Ease our fears, then.
They shouldn't be. I don't know. Like, artists, for some reason, really concentrate on their art.
Right.
And they don't think much on the business side. You know, and of course, legal issues are very much business side, very much related.
Far more complex than that script you've got.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think that people just try to avoid the business side or the legal side when they should be embracing that side, because that's how they're going to make their money.
Right.
If they want to make money as any artist, a musician, an actor, a voiceover artist, they need to cross over in that business side. That's how they're going to make the money.
Right.
I mean, many artists, from my experience, they're happier just creating their art, and they're not too concerned about how they're going to make the money off of it.
Right.
So then illegal, it seems like a big, complex thing, and it's really not. And that's how my book came to be.
Voiceover legal.
Because I would start getting questions from other voiceover artists that knew I was a lawyer. So they'd ask me questions. And a pattern started to develop. I started getting the same questions over and over again. So I said, you know what?
Sort of like home studios.
Yeah, there you go.
What's the best microphone for voiceover?
There you go. Exactly. Should I start an LLC? Right. So I wrote all these questions down.
Right.
And that's how the book began. I just, each chapter for each question. And then I, you know, the case examples, right, things I've, cases I worked on over the years, that went into the book.
So you wrote a bunch of briefs.
Yeah, well, little teeny briefs. Okay. Not big briefs.
That's the 15, 20 pagers. All right, so you talked about LLCs and stuff like that. If someone's starting a business, should they incorporate, become an LLC? What are some of the different things that people should consider when they start becoming a freelance voice actor?
Yep. I mean, there's different ways to look at it. You can look at it from the legal side or the tax side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's only three ways you can operate: as a sole proprietor, as an LLC,
yep,
or as a corporation, either an S or a C. Any business.
See?
In the United States.
And you've intimidated everybody already.
Oh, come on, it's easy. So when you start working and starting to accept money to right. do something professionally,
right,
you're automatically a sole proprietor as right. soon as you accept that money.
Because right. right? it's so. Contractual.
Right. And yeah. you're accepting money individually, so right. you're a sole proprietor.
Right.
So in my opinion, when you're starting a business, you should either be an LLC or a corporation. And even if you're a voiceover artist or a musician or whatever, the reason is this is where it's kind of funny being a lawyer.
Okay. You know, like,
because
and an artist.
Well, I mean, I represent other businesses too. People right. who come in that just want to start a business mm-hmm. to my office. And I say somebody wants to start a pizza parlor, and they come into my office. Like, you'll hear the advice that some voiceover artists give other voiceover artists. Why don't you wait and see how it goes and, you know, make some money before you start your LLC?
Right.
Think about that if you're doing that to a guy who's starting a pizza parlor. Why don't you see how many slices you sell, and then we'll decide if you should do an LLC or a corporation.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Like, if you're going to start a business, you start the business.
Right.
Right. And the reason why legally is because you're protecting your personal, all of your personal assets, everything that you've worked for. And I think voiceover artists, more so than other artists, our profession, we have people that have done other things or doing other things. They're collecting a paycheck.
Right.
You know, they're retirees that have years and years worth of assets. Like, why would you risk those things to go into the voiceover field when all you have to do is very simply set up an LLC and you're protected legally?
Yeah. My wife asks me that every day. You're going and you're doing what?
Exactly.
15 years of you're doing what? So what are some of the things that, I mean, you're talking about liabilities that people mm-hmm. can have. What possible liabilities are there that a voice actor would be liable for? I mean, you're at the mercy of the scripting that they do. I mean,
you said the most important thing, most important liability, contractual.
Right.
Like, when you do a voiceover, you're entering into a contract.
Right.
So you need to perform.
Okay.
If you don't perform because you're sick or your equipment broke down or you don't know how.
Right.
Or you know how to do compression.
Mm.
You could be sued for that.
Oh,
I mean, that's
now
a contract.
I'm really scared.
It's a breach. So, like, that's why you want to, you know, have some kind of security blanket, an LLC, so that you're not gonna lose your house for getting sued over that.
If you're doing some humongous job that's worth the value of your house, or does the cost just mount up?
Well, it depends. The breach doesn't necessarily have to be, like, you can do a $50 job that could, if you breach it, can cost the producer $10,000.
Right.
So it's not necessarily you're only going to lose the amount of money for the job.
Right.
It's the damage that you cause on the other side. So that's what you have to think of. It doesn't matter. Like, that's why those things don't correlate. Like, and it goes to the same thing. Like, when you get paid $50 for a job, they may be making $20 million on the other end.
Right.
So you
Wouldn't
have to
it be
correlate,
nice to know, though, too.
Right. You have to correlate the value of what you're charging for what they're earning. Same thing. It's the same thing. Like, you can also breach that contract and cost them $10 million, whatever.
I say right, you're a cog in a giant machine.
Right.
And if your cog is the one that breaks and the machine can't work,
well,
a
and
lot
we're also,
of money.
We're also the last cog in the machine.
Yeah.
Right? Think about it. If you're if it's a TV documentary, they already went through all the production. They already got it all ready to go. And they have their deadline to get it on the air. And then you screw up the voice. And they have to scramble at the last minute, or they don't do it. Then they lose money from, you know, income because the show didn't get out on time. You know, pretty much we're the last cog as the voice. The production's already done.
Mm-hmm.
We're post. We're in the post.
Right.
So, like, it's important that we have a really huge responsibility as voice artists to make sure we get our job done. Like, in the production end, and an actor doesn't come on set or something happens, fine. They're pains in the butt.
Right.
You fire them, you get another actor, no big deal. I mean, they may cost a little money, one day of, you know, production, but it's not going to be the end of the world. Where if a voiceover messes up at the end,
right,
you know, it could really cause a lot of issues.
Right. So best be prepared, get it done on time, don't get sick. Don't misrepresent yourself or misrepresent what you can do.
Right. I mean, there are other things, too. Obviously, there are other liabilities that a voiceover artist faces. Things that I see, like breaching copyrights. Like, I see that a lot. Putting a copyrighted song on your demo.
Mm-hmm.
Or using a copyrighted piece of material on your website. I see this all the time. And
I think somebody has a question about that.
You will get in trouble for that if the copyright holder takes any objection to you using the material.
Well, let me go to this question because let's see here. Where is that? It was an audience question here that I put in there. Ah, yes, from Kathy Servatka. She says she creates a lot of voiceover websites. Though we see it all the time, she periodically hears the warning about showing client logos on VO sites.
Yes.
What's the deal with that? She's never heard of anyone getting in trouble for this.
I have.
I know. I figured you have. If nothing else, it's free advertising.
No.
She knows the just to be on the safe side, don't do it answer. But it really helps voiceover artists show their experience and level of clientele.
I will explain.
Please.
Okay.
That's why you're here.
It's... Some trademarks you can use fair use. Okay, it depends on what the use is for. If you're doing a website, you're doing a blog, and you're just saying that Coca-Cola is the greatest drink I ever had, it's fair use because, you know, you're just talking about how Coke is, as you're a consumer, you love it, whatever.
Right.
If you're using the material on your website to show that you've done work for that client, and you're affiliating, you're aligning yourself with that trademark,
right?
And you're trying to make money off of that. That crosses the line of fair use. Now it's a commercial use.
Right.
One of the greatest rights a trademark holder has is who they are going to affiliate with. Okay. So like when Tiger Woods gets in trouble, gets a DUI, and he loses all of his sponsors, and they pull all their logos. That's why they pull their affiliation. From that. So you're forcing those trademark holders to affiliate with you.
Right.
Just because you did a job for them.
But everybody does it.
But it doesn't
I know
matter.
You probably don't now, but
at the very least, okay, and I'm not saying that this is going to keep you out of trouble.
Right.
You need to put a disclaimer on the bottom of the website that says these are properties of the trademark holders, these logos, and we have no affiliation. Nor do we want any affiliation with these logos.
Right. But I sounded great doing them.
Right. I mean, you could just list. Why use the logos? Just list who you did the work for.
Right.
And then you're not in violation.
Ah.
It's the logo that, if it's trademarked, that's where the issue comes up. So, and I have definitely seen voiceover artists get cease and desist letters for using those logos. I've seen them before. It depends. Like, nothing may never have come of it because they might not care.
Right.
But something might, you know.
I mean, since we're talking about copyright and trademarks and stuff like that, when you're doing, like, your own logo and stuff like that, when you're doing your promotional material and you come up with, you know, your website,
Is there certain things that you should trademark or copyright? Give us a couple of examples of that.
Absolutely. If you're using some kind of unique tag or unique name, you should trademark it. You know, the best voice in the world. Trademark it so right. that other voice talents don't use it.
Right.
Or
I've had one stolen on me.
Yeah,
so
like the voice doctor, whatever. Right, you know, like any unique phrase, name, you should trademark.
How hard is that to do?
It's very simple. You file with the United States Trademark, Patent and Trademark Office. You know, you fill out all the proper the categories that it's gonna be in. You set up, put a specimen in, and you know, and they publish it for opposition. So if anyone wants to oppose it, there's an opportunity, and then if that passes, you get the trademark. Sometimes people do put oppositions in. Like I got one for one of my clients, one of my voiceover clients from the Grammys.
Ooh.
They contested it was a Grammy, not like the award, but a grandmother. So I was able to work it out with them.
Right.
Where we were able to put in, you could put in language like I was saying before.
We're in the application with this. Right.
Where this is grandmother, you know, not else. Right. We're not using the Grammy awards.
Right.
Like you can put that language in the application, and that's what we did. And they were acceptable. They accepted that so that they were able, it was able to go through.
Easy to do on your own, or do you recommend getting an attorney who knows how to do that?
If you know how to do it, you can do it on your own. I don't recommend that. And the biggest reason I don't recommend it is because the patent and trademark office are really pains in the butt about, you have to put all your personal information in there. You have to put your name, your
Social
address,
security number,
your phone number, all has to be right there in public record. If you go through an attorney can shield you. Because they can use their information.
Oh, okay.
Because you can just put the internal address of the client on the application, and the external address can be the public address will be the attorney's office. So, like, they can shield privacy. So there are people that I work for that semi-celebrities, and they want their privacy protected, and so I'll do their applications for them. In fact, I actually had a client recently who came to me who is getting a book that's going to be released, and they're anticipating that this book is going to be a bestseller. And so she had me go through the trademark office plus a whole bunch of other offices where her information was there and get it removed. So I was able to do that.
Wow. There's some golden nuggets for you right there. Well, we're talking with Rob Siglin-Paglia, who's an attorney, voice actor, actor, producer, and expert on voiceover legal issues and author of the book Voice Over Legal. If you've got a question for him, and every time Rob's on, there's like a ton of questions. Everybody has some bizarre question. Throw it in the chat room. Jack Daniel will get that to us, and we will toss it to our legal eagle, Rob Siglin-Paglia. Also, by the way, later on, stay tuned after the show because we have a special Halloween treat for you. A new Plancy.
Yay!
A new Plancy, you know, when I get to play Flower, and it's a Halloween special right after the show that my son Jacob has been working on and is very proud of. So,
stay tuned.
Yeah, make sure you stay tuned for that. Alrighty. Well, one more quick question, then we'll go to a break here. What's the weirdest voiceover case that you've had to deal with?
Legally or personally?
Okay, go for both.
Not the weirdest voice actor.
Yeah,
we know a lot of those.
Yeah, we know plenty of those.
Well, personally, the weirdest case I ever did was an e-learning thing, right? And I remember I got this job request in, and it was the day before I was going to be doing a pilot for Travel Channel.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to be acting in. So they sent me this e-learning thing. It was like 15 pages or something like that, and they wanted it done then. So I did it then. I start reading it, and I realize it's about how to install a urinal.
And it's got to be done. Somebody's got to do it.
Oh, my God. So I read the whole thing. I sent it in. They sent it back the next day. They're like, this is too boring. And I'm like,
yeah, I've gotten that one. Yeah.
Okay. Garbage in, garbage out, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that was the weirdest job I did.
Yeah. Legal case, what's the weirdest one?
I haven't had really too many weird ones. I mean, I've had some I've had a couple of cases recently where this is kind of the new trend of usage issues. So I've had a few, actually, too many
right.
over the past year or two, where people will record a spot that's supposed to go on the internet.
Right.
You know, like a 30 second thing. It's always a red flag. When you're doing 30s or 60s for the internet.
Yeah.
Boom, red flag should go up. That end up on TV. Right?
Right.
One of the most recent ones I did, we were able to go on iSpot TV. And of course, the talent always find out because their friends call them, you know.
Hey, like, I heard you on this spot. Exactly. Right, exactly. Yeah.
What? That was an internet thing, right? And then we're able to go on iSpot TV. This one spot that the client had recorded for internet for like a 3-month period or 6-month period, the company spent $1.3 million in ad spend running it nationally on every cable channel you could name. So I was able to get that money because I was like, wait a minute. It was lucky because the contract was kind of ambiguous and it didn't really say that it was, it said was unlimited use for 6 months.
Wow.
Right.
You gotta read these things.
But unlimited use meant, I argued, that meant for internet, because that's what it said. You were going to use it on the internet, so use it all you want. It didn't go into other broadcast areas or things like that. Mm. So they actually agreed.
So did you, like, negotiate with them and say, hey, look, or did you actually have to file papers or?
Negotiate.
Okay.
So they ended up paying. But I've had a few of those cases over the past couple of years. It's a big, it's a hot button issue. So voice artists need to be aware.
Right.
Be careful when you're doing internet spots. And like I said, especially 30s.
Right.
You know, if someone's asking you to do a 30-second internet spot, the flag should go up. Make sure you put a provision in there that it's not going to go on TV unless they renegotiate something with you.
You should have a contract for every job that you do?
I think now, yes. And the reason why is because of DocuSign. Mm-hmm. Like, I love DocuSign.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You can load your template up. You just send it out in an email. They just hit the little box and their signature appears.
Buying a house is incredibly easy.
Exactly. Yeah, they're even using it for real estate. So if they can do it for real estate and mortgages, we can do it as voice talent very, very simply and very cheaply and very easily. So, like, in the old days, I would always say that, you know, if it was a big job, get a contract, or, you know, you could do emails back and forth. But now with DocuSign, I think that every contract should be in writing, right? Done.
Right.
Electronically. And then there's no question about those terms. You don't have to worry about, you know, if it's going to be on TV or internet or
right.
You know, what state you're going to go to if they don't pay you.
Do you have, like, templated contracts that people can use?
Or? Well, my book, the one in my book.
Oh, it's in the book, VoiceOver Legal.
It's right in the back. That's a lot of people use that contract, and I'm very... It's very general, and it's a template that you can alter to each different type of voiceover job. And in fact, a funny story about that contract.
Yeah.
I had, you know, I obviously review contracts for talent as well when they come in. So one talent had contacted me and asked me if I can review a contract. And I always said yes. And he sent it over to me, and I start reading it, and it looked really familiar. And I'm like, this is the contract for my book. And it was sent in from, like, a huge cable client that was using it. So, like, I was like all, you know, it's okay. You know, and that's great because, like, I think that's a victory for talent if they're starting to use that contract. Because my contract is talent friendly.
Right.
You know, it doesn't have all those onerous provisions that you see in most of these, you know, like $1 million of insurance.
Right.
You see these creeping in to some of these insurance or some of these contracts, which is ridiculous.
Right.
Mine is very talent friendly, so if producers want to use it, go for it. You know, it's great.
Cool. All right, we're talking with Rob Sigland Paglia, who is an attorney, an expert on voiceover issues. And if you got a question, again, throw it in the chat room, and Jack will get it to us. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back with Robert Sigland Paglia, who I pronounce perfectly every time now.
Yes, you did.
Right after these messages.
Style. Power.
The home of the NFL.
The all-new iPhone.
Reserve your Disney World season pass now.
Through all the runny noses, 3 a.m. coughs.
An all-new American crime story tonight on FX.
This week only, it's Pasta Fest at Olive Garden.
Heart rate? Prime.
blood pressure. Perfect.
I grew up with the classics. And now with StubHub, I can get authentic tickets to the best shows.
The all-new Chevy Cruze from $16,995.
Be inspired. Then get the beauty that's uniquely yours at Sephora.
This week at Home Depot, it's our Garden Fest sale with up to 30% off all garden tools, sod, and seeds.
Hi, it's J. Michael Collins, and these are just a few examples of the first-class demos my team and I are producing. If you'd like to have something similar, visit jmcvoiceover.com and click on the Demo Production tab to find out more.
You know, I have to go to Portland this week to be a panelist on a voiceover, a panelist on voiceover at the Portland Film Festival. Now, normally I don't obsess about voiceover on the road, but this is in the middle of the week and I want to be prepared because, as the old adage goes, you want voiceover work? Make plane reservations. Now, I don't want to rely on finding a big closet in my hotel room, so I'm bringing my Harlan Hogan Portabooth Plus. And there it is. It is the greatest thing in the world, weighing only 4.5 pounds, safely tucked into the airline's custom carry-on travel bag. The Plus is the perfect traveling companion and qualifies for every major airline as carry-on, saving you time and money. Your microphone, headphones, desk stand, and your interface store inside, protected by the durable Oralex studio foam that lines the booth. It's the same acoustic foam used by virtually every professional recording studio in the world. Once settled into a hotel room, I'll just put the Portabooth Plus on the ever-present ironing board. It just adjusts to the right height and has room for my laptop. Remember this holiday travel season that airlines are very, very strict about the size of your luggage. So it's got to fit in the airport bag sizer. And the Portabooth Plus fits perfectly. See, it fits right in there. Anyway, right now, you can save that session that you got and $10 on a Portabooth Plus and carry-on travel bag at voiceoveressentials.com. Now, Harlan also wanted to remind you that Dan O'Day and he are recommending Rob Siglin-Paglia's book, Voice Over Legal, to all their students in their Starting Your Voiceover Career teleseminar. All right. Thanks, Harlan. The sponsor for 6¾ years. We must be doing something right. Thanks a lot. Go to voiceoveressentials.com right at the bottom of the page here and go buy his stuff, especially a Portabooth Plus.
VoiceOver Body Shop. Learn the latest in voiceover technology. Learn how to get rid of that. VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on VOBS.us.
All righty, we're back with Rob Siglin-Paglia, voice actor, attorney, actor. You're also producing a film right now. Has that been released yet?
Not yet. It's almost done. It's about 75% done.
Taking a while. I mean, you've been working on this for a couple of years.
Yes, I've learned a lot about
I'm sure you have.
Great films, they take forever
to
get them right. You know, like, and I've also learned that you the film's done 3 times. It's like done at the script.
Yeah.
It's done when you redone when you shoot it,
right?
And then it's redone when you edit
post,
it.
Right? Yeah.
Like there's 3 different times, 3 different stories. The story is much different now in editing than it was from the script,
right?
For many different reasons, things that pop up during filming, and you know it's crazy.
Yeah.
So
well, I see, but that's
it's almost done, but it's sold,
right?
And I'm here for the American film market.
Cool.
AFM and going to talk to the distributor, and I have a couple other projects in the works too. So
fantastic. I'm available if you need an actor.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. All right.
I'll need extras.
Let's see what our amazing, I've been wanting to do extra work. I got to get my union points. George, who do we have questions from?
Oh, boy. We got lots of.
All righty.
Lots of. We got some tech ones, too, which we'll get into the end of the show, guys. Those of you who are watching that did ask a few techie ones, we'll get to those at the end. For Rob, though, first one I see here is Paul Stefano.
All right, Paul.
Is it a good idea for voice actors to have an attorney on retainer? And does Rob serve that role for any clients?
I mean, you can. It depends on how much, whether you're going to pay a retainer, monthly retainer, depends on how much work. That's what it comes down to. It'll save money in the end doing some kind of monthly retainer. most
across the board. Is that just it's just the code of the attorney? You get put me on a retainer and you get a better deal.
Yeah, usually you save money. You're gonna save. That's the reason you do it. You've come out with you try to figure out like the average hours you're gonna put in, and you'll charge that amount.
Oh, okay.
And then you know the client, unless they like go way over, mm-hmm. which normally doesn't happen.
Okay.
You know, you'll end up saving money. But I mean, I charge hourly. Most attorneys charge hourly. And you know, we're there for whenever anything pops up. So it just depends. That's how I answer that question. I don't think it's necessary to have someone on retainer.
Right.
But it depends on the stage of their career, and depends on the work that they need done. Okay. So
here's one that was written in earlier. So I got to get this one in. Somebody sent this one in. Andy Kaufman, one of our great fans. Always great to hear from the latest legalese from Mr. Siglin Paglia. My question is in regards to my website URL. I registered the site in 2010, and then 2 years later, someone overseas used my same URL with the extension .nl. What are my legal rights for exclusive rights to my domain name?
Well, that's one of the reasons why you want to trademark the name.
Right.
Because that gives you rights to the name. You have to go through, you could go through the domain name. George, you may know better than this. The domain name.
Is it called ecan? Something like that.
You could go through it and put a claim, you know, put an official.
ICANN.
ICANN. That's what it is. You put an official dispute in.
Uh-huh.
And then they'll resolve it. ICANN will resolve the dispute. So that's what I would recommend doing.
But you're probably not going to get too far without the trademark.
No, not necessarily.
Oh, no?
Because they treat the domain names are treated separately from trademarks. But if you have it trademarked, then that you have not a greater right to it, but you're showing that you're it's yours.
You're serious about it.
Right. You're registering it so the world can see that it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. All righty. Question for Maxine.
Oh, yeah. This one from Maxine Dunn, for those who don't know. Could you outline some basic tips for filling out an accurate Schedule C on our tax returns? Is there a guide for exactly what's permissible to claim as a deduction and what's not?
Very good question. At the VoiceOver Mastery this past weekend, I ran a seminar about every artist should have a team. They should have an accountant, an attorney, and an agent.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason you have an accountant is someone who knows entertainment is to figure out which deductions you can take and which that you can't. So it's really just done by experience. Mm-hmm. You know, you could go to the IRS site and they'll tell you they have all a whole bunch of samples of what are and what aren't. For instance, home studio, you know, how can you deduct the home studio? Cause that's something that always comes up. As long as you're using it exclusively and it's not like in your kitchen, then you can deduct the percentage of square footage for
your. It's called a home office deduction, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
And we do.
Yes, you should. And then, like, I always laugh at some of the things that some accountants say that don't understand entertainment law. Like, I had one client call me up and told me that her accountant told her she couldn't deduct her mileage for going to auditions because he said there were commuting expenses. And I said, that's ridiculous. Of course you can deduct the mileage going to studios to record, or, you know, if you're going to auditions for on camera.
Well, stuff. You're a freelancer. You're not commuting.
Exactly. So that mileage is deductible. What else do we, well, of course the cost of our demos and the cost of our classes, that's all deductible. Generally. And then there's that question of whether it's you're training for a new career or because that's not deductible. But generally, if you go to a good accountant, they'll set it up so that you can deduct it. And that's another reason why I say you set up the LLC, do it right away. Set it up as soon as you, even before you step your foot in the classroom, set up an LLC, because then the accountant will be able to maybe depreciate it over time as you're starting to make more money or deduct it right up front. You know, there's ways to.
Yeah, how much does it cost to create an LLC?
It's definitely under $1,000. I mean, all the states have different filing fees. But the other good thing about a voiceover career is that since we're doing work all over the world, you can really kind of shop around and pick which state you want to
set up. What are the best states? Who are the cheapest states? I know a lot of people go to Delaware.
Delaware and Nevada are the two. Those are like the two standard ones. But Wyoming actually created the LLC. And they're one of the best.
Really?
Missouri and Pennsylvania, they're good too. They don't really charge a lot of fees. So it depends. You don't need to go to your home state. As an automatic knee-jerk reaction.
Something tells me California is not going to be a bad
thing. So is New York. You definitely got to, if you live in California, you got to ask a California CPA because, you can get it in Delaware, but you're still going to pay California.
Well, you're still going to pay the tax. You're still going to pay whatever tax. You're still going to pay tax based on how much income you're making here.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, and then you may have to get authorized to do business in the state where you actually are.
Right.
Like if you wanted to bring a lawsuit, they'd make you. But that's usually cheaper to do that. It's usually a couple $100 to get the authority to do business in your state than it is. So
ask
you still would lose money. You still would save money, versus doing it sometimes just going to your home state and setting it up.
That's good to know.
All right. Devox asks, never short of a question, speaking of doing our job far and wide. He says, do U.S. clients have to do any particular paperwork or procedure for paying overseas talent or businesses?
Yes. Mm. There's we get 1099s here in the U.S. when we do work. There, I think it's a W-8 that we're for foreigners.
So
it's a special tax form that has to be filled out.
D-Box is in Japan. I just happen to know he's in Japan, so.
If they're in Japan and we're here, you don't need to get a work permit or anything like that.
Okay.
But you just have to file the proper tax forms for foreigners. That's it.
Okay.
All right.
Another one from Maxine, actually. This one just is more of a compliment than anything, but she says, you always have great headshots. Who shoots your headshots for you?
It's a photographer in New York, and I forgot his name. I'm on the spot. I forgot his name.
We'll get his name. Put it in the show notes.
Okay. Jack Daniel has a question. He says, I have an unusual name, Jack Daniel. I kind of sort of take advantage of calling my voice like unto a smooth sipping whiskey. Am I asking for trouble? For your information, this is my real name and my SAG name, so I'm not making it up.
Yeah, no, that's fine. and you can even trademark Jack Daniel for voiceover. Because Jack Daniel is whiskey, so you can trade. If you can trademark, each industry gets the trademark. So like Jack Daniel may object saying it's going to cause confusion, and then you'd have to fight that with them. In the end, you're a different industry, so it's really not going to cause confusion. So you can trademark that.
Who knew?
Name. The phrase, too, it's unique enough, you could probably trademark that as well. So.
Alrighty. Michael Blaha says, what's the best way to be sure if a logo you create for yourself isn't too similar to something already trademarked? Is there some online database? Or how can we be sure we're okay?
Yes, you just go to United States Patent and Trademark Office. Okay. You can look up logos. You can look up names through TESS.
Yeah,
the trademark database. You can just describe the logo, and it will pull up all the different logos that are already trademarked.
Cool.
Or the name. You can just put anything in. You know, like Jack Daniel. Put it in, and you'll see how many trademarks that Jack Daniels owns and how many times they applied, which are live, which are dead.
Yeah. But not the voiceover one.
as long as you
see the voiceover one too.
Just don't go into the business of, don't open a distillery.
Yeah.
I think that's the point.
Right, exactly.
You'll just have to change your name to Fred.
Fred.
The U.S. patent office, the trademark office won't give you the trademark for distillery if it's alcohol. They'll deny it.
Yeah.
Right away.
Yeah.
Because when you put the application in, someone reviews it to make sure that it passes all the preliminary tests. And that's one of the preliminary tests. So it would just get tossed. So
Cool. Well, we're talking with attorney Rob Siglin-Paglia, author of Voiceover Legal here on Voiceover Body Shop. Again, if you got any last questions, get them in now. We've got one from the now very svelte Tom Daniels.
No kidding.
Yeah. What's he got to say?
Does a voice actor have any legal rights to a style of read? For instance, an audition that I did with a stylized read was duplicated by the sponsor who directed another talent who was hired to read exactly line for line, inflection for inflection, the read that I had recorded in the audition. Do you follow that?
It's happened to me too.
What the heck is going on there?
I've done auditions where I've ad-libbed them and they put it in the final piece and I didn't get the job. So there's nothing you could do about it, unfortunately. Unless it's so unique that it becomes your, like they're trying to take your voice sound.
You know, actual voice print.
Right, your voice print.
Which could happen.
Right.
Someday.
That's an interesting thing because we know there's software now that can grab anything and synthesize you saying anything.
Yes.
Adobe Audition.
Yes.
Yeah. Adobe.
But your likeness, your voice is considered your likeness, just like your picture. So they can't do that legally.
Mm-hmm.
Now trying to track them down and find it, you know, that's going to be
right.
That's going to be the challenge, but you're still protected under the law if they try to do that. There will be some advantages for that software. I could see that in the film world. You know, like when you're trying to get, you didn't get a line and you're trying to get the actor to come in to do the ADR.
Or someone that can imitate him. It'll be much cheaper to just throw it in the audition.
And that contractually is already granted for them to be able to do something like that. Because they can use your likeness once you, you know, sign off on the dotted line. So it'd be actually be easier for actors. But I'm sure the union's going to want them to get some kind of pay if that happens, you know, because they're not going to be getting their fee.
Right.
They're entitled to a session fee. So these are all issues to come to be litigated.
Yeah.
All
right. We talked. There was one more thing from Devox. I don't know if it made it into the questions. I just happened to see it in the chat. Is there inexpensive VO insurance? And I was thinking about insurance too when you're talking about LLC.
Yep.
Is there some overlap of the function of having insurance versus an LLC and all that kind of stuff?
Yes and no. And if you get the LLC can buy E&O insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, you personally would get the E&O insurance for yourself.
Right.
Your LLC would get liability insurance.
Right.
So like someone comes in here and falls, you know, then you'd get liability insurance for your LLC for that. E&O, errors and omissions, that would be for yourself personally. So if like we talked about earlier, you got sick and you couldn't deliver, or you something came up and you breached your contract. That's where the E&O, it was negligent, not on purpose.
If you're negligent,
and that's where E&O would come in and cover you. And it's not that expensive. You know, you can shop around. I'm sure you can get it for under $1,000. You know, if you shop around,
not like medical malpractice insurance.
Yeah, I think I got
Well, even legal malpractice, I pay like $2,500 for my E&O. It's not a lot of money.
Yeah, I think I quoted
voice
like,
artists, it should be pretty inexpensive. So
yeah, I got E&O for my business quoted. It was a little over $1,000 for like, what's it, a million of one and a million of the other or whatever they call it.
A million for liability and a million for E&O probably,
It's not crazy expensive.
All right. If someone wants to get a hold of this fabulous book, Voiceover Legal, and see those contracts things in there and answer all these questions, what's the best way they can get a hold of it?
The best way is just go to voiceoverlegal.com.
That makes it easy?
Real easy.
You got any plans to update the book?
Yes. I've been so busy like with the film and everything that I keep putting it off. But yes, I do want to update the book because, you know, things...
Well, technology has changed.
The things I have in there are basic things, but I want to put more case examples in there. And there are some things that I can tweak a little bit in there. Like World Voices Organization, they need to go in my book.
Yep.
So,
yeah. Corporate counsel here. Guy's fabulous. All right, Rob, thanks so much for being here. It's always a pleasure. We'll look forward to seeing you next year. Maybe you're on tax season.
Next time I'm back.
Okay, and I know you'll be back. Rob Siglin-Paglia. All right, well, we're going to take another break and wrap things up. Reminder that we've got a Plancy's World coming up at the end of the show. Do not miss that. Very funny. And
a few more tech questions to clean up.
And a few tech questions we're going to cover, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
Your dynamic voiceover career requires extra resources to keep moving ahead. Now there's one place where you can explore everything the voiceover industry has to offer. That place is voiceoverextra.com. Whether you're just exploring a voiceover career or a seasoned veteran ready to reach that next professional level, stay in touch with market trends, coaching, products and services while avoiding scams and other pitfalls. VoiceOver Extra has hundreds of articles, free resources, and training that will save you time and help you succeed. Learn from the most respected talents, coaches, and industry insiders when you join the online sessions bringing you the most current information on topics like audiobooks, auditioning, casting, home studio setup and equipment, marketing, performance techniques, and much more. It's time to hit your one-stop daily resource for voiceover success. Sign up for a free subscription to newsletters and reports and get 14 bonus reports on how to ace the voiceover audition. It's all here at voiceoverextra.com. That's voiceoverxtra.com.
Hey, you got voiceover questions? Get them answered on the VO Dojo's monthly free Q&A webinar, Ask the Sensei. It's the first Wednesday of every month, coming up November 1st at 10 a.m. Join Master Sensei Tish Hicks and me, Dan Leonard, the VO Dojo's Techno Sensei, and get the answers you need. Sign up now at thevodojo.com. And on Sunday, November 12th, I'm excited to be teaching the dojo's You Should Have a Home Studio Intensive live here in L.A. All you need to know, and don't need to know, to have the most effective and affordable home studio setup as a working voiceover pro. Finding the right equipment, best sounding acoustics, proper mic techniques, and knowing what a good recording is supposed to sound like. Whistle. All within your budget. Everything we talk about here on VOBS, focused into one live power pack Sunday. The You Should Have a Home Studio Intensive is coming up Sunday, November 12th, and a special offer for you. Use the promo code VOBS, all in caps, and save $50. Space is limited, so go to your VODojo.com and grab your spot today. The VODojo.com.
This is John Bailey, the Epic Voice, and you're watching VOBS.TV, Monday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 Newfoundland.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer, and you are watching VoiceOver Body Shop. It's great.
All right, we're back. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Oh, boy. This is going to be an interesting year for this.
How many pounds of candy did you guys buy?
Oh, we bought. This is a busy neighborhood.
I can imagine.
And they import kids into our neighborhood.
Is it one of those neighborhoods?
Oh, yeah. There's vans pull up and, the entire Mormon Tabernacle Choir comes out. And
that happens in Santa Monica, actually.
I'm sure it does.
Above Montana Boulevard, they go berserk.
Oh,
the U-Haul family.
Yeah.
The family that owns U-Haul,
They
have a house up there and they go all out. They hire like professional effects people it's a thing. And there's another neighborhood where there's a guy who actually is an animatronics effects guy.
Oh, cool.
And he hauls all of his stuff out and puts it all in the yard and scares the crap out of people.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic.
They take Halloween very seriously here in L.A.
It's a big deal. I mean, this is the town of dressing up, right?
Well, that's true.
I mean, half the
that's
people true. Here work in some kind of capacity where they get dressed up, I guess. So, they go crazy here.
Interesting. All right, we had a couple of tech questions that came in after our tech segment, but we figured we'd cover them tonight.
After or during, whatever it was.
Yeah, Fred North asks, can I over-treat my studio and make it dull?
Yeah, you can over-treat it. I mean, the walls would have like a foot thick of stuff on all the surfaces before it became what we call anechoic.
Right.
An anechoic room is one that has absolutely zero acoustical property of its own. It just, sound goes out. And it disappears immediately.
And no sound comes in.
And the closest thing you might get to that in the real world is to be standing outside in the middle of an open field and talk and hear what you hear.
Right.
It's weird. Your voice just kind of goes away.
Right.
That's what happens in an anechoic chamber. Yes, you can approach that in a home studio booth if you over-treat it. And it does sound a little odd. But I don't think it sounds dull. Necessarily.
You're not going to create a muddy sounding room. That's a function of your microphone technique and
Yeah. You know, and how badly you process what your chain is like.
Yeah.
It can sound kind of
most
muddy.
Small rooms end up sounding muddy because they deaden all the high frequencies without controlling the low frequencies. That's the bass trap stuff. So it can sound muddy or resonant, and that might be something you might construe as dull. I don't know. But it's not very likely you'll overtreat your home studio.
Yeah.
Very unlikely.
The thing I find that most people don't realize is they're generally trying to create sound that satisfies their ears.
Right.
But you guys don't hire you. You know, there are people out there who are experts in sound, some who aren't, who are buying your voice, and they know how to treat it. They want a clean sound, and it's not your job to process it. But yeah, having a clean room that doesn't have much reflection in it is a big help.
Yeah, I mean, a studio that's designed for musicians is very different because when you're playing music, you need to hear the sound of the instrument
right
around you. It's part of the performance, but it's a very different result you're going for.
Right.
With voiceover, it's a dry, neutral sound of your voice with nothing else.
Okay, cool. Richard Hercher asks, now we were talking about compression earlier. He says, in Audacity, how does the limiter plugin compare to the compressor?
Well, actually, you know what? I haven't looked at the limiter plugin recently. I'll tell you what I think when I look at it here real quick. Now, interesting, they don't have something in here that they actually call limiter. There is no limiter plugin by default in Audacity. It doesn't mean there aren't limiter plugins, because with Audacity, you can get these things called Nyquist plugins right, and add things in.
Oh, good fun.
They have something called a leveler.
Yeah.
And I'm very... Nah, the fewer the controls, the more nervous I get, because what is it going to do? So is it good or bad? You got to trust your ears. It's a very different tool. The whole idea of leveling is to try to figure out high to low
right,
and kind of smartly figure out how to change a mix, so to speak. So if you had two people talking and one speaks lower, one speaks louder, a leveler would take the quieter guy and bring him up louder. That's what a leveler will do. So it's a kind of a different tool, but a limiter is basically a compressor just at a much higher ratio. So a 2-to-1 compressor takes your signal that's going up like this and then ramps it off at an angle like that. A limiter gets up to a certain threshold and then it flattens it out and it can't right, get any louder than that.
Right.
That's the difference.
Okay.
Kind of.
All righty. All right. Again, if you ever have a technical question, give us a buzz here at theguys@vobs.tv. Mm-hmm. And we'll try and solve the problem for you.
Yes,
all will. Right. Next week on this very show, right, we have an agent, Liz Lyons Atherton, the Atherton Group. Tag, tips and tricks about working with your agent. We've had a few agents on lately, which I think is pretty important.
I think it's great.
And, you know, and all their different perspectives. So make sure you tune in for that next Monday night.
We've got a few people in the running for the next week after, but we haven't locked it in yet.
Yeah.
I know who I'd like to have on, but I'm not going to say it.
Okay. I'm probably the same one. Okay. What else we got going on here?
Well, our donors.
Who are our donors of the week?
I actually happen to have them right here.
Outstanding.
Eric Aragoni. Always, never misses an episode.
Yeah.
Martha Kahn. Thank you, Martha. Shanna Pennington Baird. Antland Productions. Greg Thomas. Diana Birdsall. Patty Gibbons, Brian Page, George, that's A. Whittem,
mm-hmm,
my dad, and Amanda Fellows are the most recent donors to the show.
Yeah. And our opening VO was provided by the one and only announcer, Doug Turkell, who sounds just great because he's an announcer.
That's right. He certainly
is. Just, he's Doug, and that's what you're supposed to be.
and
you too, send in your interpretation of our intro. Maybe we'll throw it on there. And are you going to be home for a couple of weeks?
Yes.
Let's do the new intro.
I just talked to the drone guy today.
Oh, the drone guy.
He was like, I'm looking forward to working with you guys on this.
All right, as long as his car works. All
that's right. We're going to hire a drone.
Okay. let's see here. These show logs, you can access those right up here on our page. Jack DeGoli is out there still writing every word we say. He's getting actually more and more detailed with it. So if you want to follow up with, if you watch the show on YouTube and replay, because you're probably going to want to get some of the other tips that Rob threw out here tonight, because there was some great information in there. He'll give you the exact time when that happens. Let's see. What else? We have a podcast, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, some of you are probably listening to it right now. But if you like to consume the show while you're driving safely, not watching it on YouTube in the car, you might want to check it out, the podcast version, which is on Stitcher, iTunes, and really anywhere you can find podcasts. You should be able to find us. Just type in VOBS in the search box and subscribe.
We're there.
It's a long show, and so it's a good show to consume by audio
That
reason sometimes.
All righty. Make sure you take our survey. We need to know what you guys think, what you guys want to see.
And what sponsors you like.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And go make sure you patronize our sponsors. Hey, you want to be in our studio? Hey, Andrew, get the studio cam on.
Is it working?
All right. Yay. Yeah, we have guests tonight. And if you'd like to be here, let us know if you're going to be in the greater Los Angeles area or if you live around the block. And you want to come in on a Monday night and join us for the show and see it live and see how we do it. Go, this is all it is? then you're welcome to do that. Write to us at theguys@vobs.tv and say, hey, I'm going to be here on this date. And if we're actually doing a show that night, which we do almost every night.
Put subject audience in the subject
line.
So it stands out.
All righty. Hey, we need to thank our sponsors because, man, they're fabulous.
Yes, we do.
And only the best sponsors for us, like Harlan Hogan and VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VO2GoGo and Rehearsal App.
The VO Dojo.
VoiceActorWebsites.com.
J. Michael Collins Demos, and all of them for providing some uninterrupted streaming of this amazing show that you see every Monday night here on VOBS.TV. Let's see. We need to thank Marcy because we're out here in the garage. Our producer, Catherine Curden, for getting us great guests like Rob Siglin-Paglia.
No doubt.
Anthony Gettig, Jack Daniel, who had a run out, but Jack did a great job tonight on our chat room duty. Our amazing floor producer and
technical director, comedian, warm up,
everything. Andy Bushwitz. thanks to him and Jack DeGolia for the show notes. And of course, the amazing Lee Pinney. Simply for being Lee Pinney.
Do you know Lee is retired?
No wonder we never see him.
He is living the life of a retired guy.
Yeah.
He makes and designs radio control car parts.
Wow.
Yeah. Seriously. I follow him on Instagram, man.
Not doing voiceover anymore. But
no,
apparently.
Dude, he's retired.
Yeah, cool.
For real.
You can't retire from
Good
voiceover.
Good for you, Lee.
Yeah. Hey, stay tuned for a special Halloween episode of Plancy's World. If you've never seen Plancy before... This one's pretty funny, and Jacob worked very hard on this one, as did myself, Shannon Torrance, and a number of other people. Got a great team of people working with Jacob to produce his cartoon, so stay tuned for that. Have a happy Halloween. We'll see you next week. Remember, this is a very difficult business. There's lots of details to it. You've got to be well-trained. You've got to know the technical stuff. You got to have the right people working with you.
You need to have a good team.
Yes,
as Rob mentioned earlier.
So stay tuned here on VoiceOver Body Shop because we'll be bringing you more and more of these fabulous people to keep you informed and safe in our business. That's going to do it for us this week. We'll see you next week. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And together we are VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VOBS.
Yes.
Have a great week. Have a happy Halloween. We'll see you. Yeah, and a holiday dedicated to eating sugar.
Well, I don't see you wearing a costume.
I'm dressed as a pissed-off flower. What do you want from me?
Boo! Ah!
Oh, yeah, that's really scary. What an intimidating costume.
This isn't a costume. I'm a real monster.
Wow, so you're really that ugly?
Flower, so what's up, little monster?
Can you help me find my way home? I'm lost, and I have to be home before midnight.
Why? Will your mommy ground you?
No, I'll turn into candy.
Okay, and the problem is?
Uh-oh, 11 o'clock. I gotta get home.
Well, then what the f*** are you doing out so late?
trick-or-treating.
Don't worry, little monster. We'll help you get home. Where do you live?
I don't remember. I'm lost.
Of course. I know someone who can help. Jackie Lantern knows where everyone lives.
I hate that freaking vulture.
You can find her in the pumpkin patch, but you'll need to wake her up.
Thanks, Shifty.
No problem.
Let's go. Gonna help the monster get home on Halloween so his mommy doesn't worry about him. Here we are, the pumpkin patch, and there's Jackie Lantern. Let's surprise her. 3, 2...
Hey, Schmuckface! Wake up!
Eek! What was that for? Hey, Jackie Lantern, do you know where this monster lives? I'll tell you, for some candy.
Give us a few minutes.
I have some candy.
Damn it.
Thank you. This monster lives past Firewood Forest. Firewood Forest?
Well, looks like we're getting candy.
How did you get through Firewood Forest to trick-or-treat?
I took a shortcut.
Well, where is it?
I forgot.
Of course you did.
Okay, shortcut.
Take your time, Plancy.
I can tell you where the shortcut is for some candy.
What kind of tooth fairy are you?
Thank you. If you take a left past the purple tree and go forward, you'll see a rock with a... Oh no, we're too late.
One measly piece of candy? I was expecting a whole pile.
Can I have it?
No.
I failed.
Hey, happy Halloween, kids. What the f*** kind of candy is this?